How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. DNA Today informs you on what's happening in the genetic world. During my broadcast, I educate you, the public, on genetic and health topics through event coverage, news stories, book movie reviews, and interviews. Guests include genetic counselors, researchers, patient advocates, and professors. My guest today is Irina Brooke. She is a patient advocate with the mission of supporting people with BRCA mutations and educating the public on this testing and how it can empower healthcare decisions. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kira.
So I want to start with what first motivated you to pursue genetic testing. Kind of where did your journey begin?
It all began with a mammogram. Basically, they found some calcifications and I wound up going for a biopsy, which showed that I have some DCIS. My gynecologist, who happens to be Ashkenazi Jewish, insisted I go and get genetic testing. I'm very lucky, actually, that she did so because it saved my life.
And so through this genetic testing process, you did it with a genetic counselor. How was that experience? Was it kind of a confusing experience? Was it something that you just kind of were learning a lot during it?
Actually, the genetic counselor would not test me until I see their family physician and until I see her. Experience was great. She was absolutely phenomenal. She spent a lot of time with me. I'm talking like an hour and a half where, as a doctor, is never going to spend that much time with you because they simply don't have the time to spend with you. She spoke to me about, you know, being Ashkenazi Jewish. She spoke to me about my family history. She spoke about what kind of testing they do, how they do it. It was fairly simple. It was just spit, swab thing.
And then she sends it in FedEx.
Absolutely. And actually, when I was tested, Myriad was the only lab at that point that was testing. So, of course, my concern was about getting it covered by insurance. She said she's never seen an Ashkenazi person get denied coverage. It was so expensive at that point. It was $4,000. Luckily, I had absolutely no kind of issues with the insurance covering it.
And this was before then the 2013 Supreme Court case of the gene patents, where Myriad had the patent for BRCA testing. And so it was, as you said, it was like $4,000, whereas if people are tested now, it's more in the hundreds rather than the thousands because that patent doesn't exist anymore. So other companies are now able to provide BRCA testing. So that's something that's even changed since 2013. When you had your genetic testing. So it kind of shows how fast the field is moving just 5 years later.
I'll tell you something right now, though. They really are, though, Myriad. They were top-notch. I had my results back in 2 weeks.
That's really so quick. Wow.
Yeah, I can't say anything. They really do good work, Myriad, and they're really reliable as far as their accuracy and their results and time frames. So I had really good experience with them.
Yeah, and clearly the genetic counselor was really top-notch in terms of explaining things to you so that you could understand what was happening and it wasn't like, sign here and then I'm going to end up telling you something later. That's really great to hear. And another aspect that you mentioned about genetic counseling that I wanted to highlight is that the genetic counselor sat with you for an hour and a half, which is kind of unheard
yes.
of for other healthcare professionals to sit down with a patient for that long, face-to-face, talking with them and discussing their personal healthcare and what they're actually looking at and the different options and everything. So doctors typically don't have that time, which is why genetic counselors are great to be able to really bridge that gap between patients understanding the genetic testing and having it done and everything. So I'm very happy to hear that you had this positive experience.
Well, yes, absolutely. Not only do they not have the time, the doctors, but unfortunately, a lot of doctors do not even know how to read genetic results, and they're not trained.
That's a whole other aspect,
so
yes.
That's a big problem that I have about doctors testing patients, only because, I hate to say it, they don't know what they're doing a lot of times, and a lot of doctors are only doing BRCA testing, but there's so many other mutations besides BRCA1 and BRCA2. You have Lynch syndrome out there. You have ATM. You just have so many other mutations out there that are so important that go unnoticed because they just focus strictly on BRCA. And it's great for me, but I think as far as me in one aspect, but in another way, it's not great because you're kind of isolating other people and you're just simply isolating two mutations. And there's, like I said, there's so many other ones out there and the doctors are not testing them. They're just testing them for BRCA1, BRCA2, that's it. Oh, you're negative, that's it. But what about other mutations that are out there? And people think that they're in the clear and they're like, I'm okay, I'm good. But no, a lot of times, like, you're not good because you have all of this going on, this family history, or you're not sure about the family history. You could have another mutation that you're carrying and you won't know because you're not getting properly screened and tested.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point that I hear from a lot of patients and genetic counselors. It's like screaming from the rooftops that, you know, the BRCA or BRCA gene, which can be pronounced either way, in case that's confused people before now.
It's okay.
It's really been highlighted in the media for the past few years because of Angelina Jolie, which is a great thing that genetic counseling and genetic testing skyrocketed after in the New York Times, that she explained her story and the testing she had and the preventative surgery she had, which is great. But we can't stop there. As you were saying, that there's other genes that can elevate one's risk for breast cancer and other cancers. So BRCA is a major one, but not the only one.
No, because like I said, you have mutations such as Lynch syndrome, which is really so bad. So many people have died. You have such an increased risk for the stomach cancer. And then you have the colon. The colon is just, you know, such a big red flag. And at such a young age, too, it's just so important, you know, to stress that, you know, to see a genetic counselor, not to just go to the doctor and be tested and, you know, wash your hands, you know, clean of this. No, we really desperately need more genetic counselors. We really do, because they're so vital in the process, especially people coming in saying, well, you know, I have colon cancer in my family, let's say three, four people, and then the doctor's going to test them for BRCA. Okay, well, that's great, but then what if they test negative? What if it's not BRCA at all? What if it's, you know, Lynch? And, you know, like I said, and the doctor is not going to know that the number one thing they should be testing for, one of the first things is Lynch syndrome. You know, because that's really where the red flags are.
And some of the Lynch syndrome genes, because we're mentioning BRCA, I want to list a couple of those. MHL1, MSH2, MSH6, PMS2, and EPCAM. Those are really the five genes that are associated with Lynch syndrome. And so it's important to point those out so people are kind of familiar with that if they've heard it a couple times, read it a couple times, it may kind of stick with people's brains a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I've had a couple episodes about Lynch syndrome. I've had a Lynch syndrome advocate on Georgia Hearst before, so it's definitely a hereditary cancer syndrome that needs to be highlighted more. We mentioned a little bit of family history of different cancers. What is really considered that someone has a family history of, say, ovarian, breast, or prostate cancer?
Let me just say there are different factors involved. One, if you're Ashkenazi Jewish, one out of 40 of us have a BRCA mutation. If you are under 50 years old and had breast cancer, that's definitely a red flag. If you've had triple negative breast cancer, a red flag. If you have had inflammatory breast cancer, if you have prostate cancer in your family now, thank God they're testing men that have prostate cancer for BRCA, because a lot of times men who carry mutations, BRCA goes unnoticed, because if you have a lot of men in the family,
they're not developing breast cancer as much.
Not as much. No, of course, men can also, let me just make it clear, men can get breast cancer and they have gotten breast cancer, but it's less than 1%, but not to the point where, you know, women, it's, you know, so high for those of us that carry mutations. That's really, really important. So you just have, it's not only ovarian, also you have ocular cancer, you have pancreatic cancer, you have now, some underlying of stomach cancer, peritoneal cancer. You can add if I've missed any because I'm sick and a bit cloudy, you know, mentally with this.
There's definitely a long list.
Yeah, it's melanoma also, you know, skin cancer. So you have quite a number of cancers. So personally, to me, I mean, I would say it's any of these or it's just being Ashkenazi. Being Ashkenazi puts you in an increased risk. What is considered high? You know, it's not the same for the general population, obviously, as it is for the BRCA carriers. Let's see. I would say at least more than one of some kind of
seeing some kind of pattern.
Yeah, some kind of pattern, some kind of cancer. My grandmother had contralateral breast cancer. Not at the same time, though. My father's uncle had colon cancer at 47, which is really young too. My father is in the process of getting tested. We're still waiting because he had lung cancer, my dad. So he's out of surgery, like 6 weeks out from lung cancer surgery. Let's see. I've had breast cancer at 41.
Which is considered young for breast cancer.
Yeah. Yes. My father's cousin in Israel has had breast cancer, either 50s or 60s. But with the BRCA2, the onset of breast cancer could be later, you know. So to me, that wouldn't, you know, necessarily be a shock. It wouldn't be a shock for me, you know. So, you know, every family, every mutation has a different history, kind of different risks. Even if you do have the same mutation, every family has different risks and different history. So that's really important for people to know.
And so from your experiences, you were diagnosed with breast cancer, you mentioned that was 2013. And from there, you got the genetic testing with the genetic counselor and followed up with 6 months of chemo and a mastectomy. Through this, you know, long process, what did you really kind of learn from the healthcare perspective of kind of what you needed to know that you now pass on to others?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. You are your own best advocate. If you don't advocate for yourself, if you don't dig, if you don't go get a second and third opinion, honestly, it's a huge mistake because the first doctor that I went to, he could have caused me my life. He did not refer me. He did not want refer me for genetic testing. He did not think it was necessary. He did not think I was going to carry a mutation, considering I'm 100% Ashkenazi Jewish. He did not send me a bilateral MRI. It was horrendous, the service that I, the kind of care that I got from him, or lack of, I should say. My best thing is, please, everyone, no matter what, if you feel something is wrong, push. Go and go to a doctor. If this doctor won't listen to you, go to another doctor. There are plenty of doctors that are willing to listen, that are willing to help. I have a great team now at Sloan Kettering. So that's the biggest lesson that I've learned, just advocating for oneself. That's the biggest thing you can do, the biggest gift.
And from doing that, there's so many resources online to take advantage of, and we'll include some on the show notes at dnapodcast.com. One of the resources that I definitely want to recommend is yours, that you have a support group online, and this is really a great resource for people who have BRCA mutations to come together and learn from each other and be able to support one another. How did you get this started?
Well, first of all, let me just say one thing. It's not only girls with BRCA. I have girls with all different kinds of mutations in the group. So it's a BRCA HBOC group. That's just wanted to stress that, because everyone is welcome as long as they're female and as long as they carry a hereditary breast, you know, ovarian cancer mutation.
So many of the mutations we were previously talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yes. I have girls with ATM. I have girls with Lynch syndrome. I have girls with BRCA1, BRCA2. I have girls, like I said, that one of my admins, she happens to actually have three mutations. She's BRCA1, BRCA2, and it carries an ATM.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
How did I get started? Well, I decided over 2 years ago that, you know what, there's groups out there, they're great, but you know what, I really wanted to do this my way, and I'm a pretty blunt person, so I really wanted to be able to say what I wanted to say and what I needed to say without kind of, I guess, getting in trouble with other admins. So I figured that the best way to do it is just to launch my own group and, you know, just say what I, you know, needed to say and offer my advice and my experience of what I've had. And it's a pretty open group as far as communication is concerned. That's what I really wanted, you know, out there. I wanted people to be able to sort of, you know, not feel that I have to hold back. You know, because some groups, they have certain rules, and I wanted it to be where it was kind of free-floating and we could just, you know, support one another and we could really say what's on our minds, and whether it's BRCA-related or not, whether somebody's having a bad day because, you know, their throat hurts and or they're having certain symptoms and, you know, of course, they have PTSD because they've had cancer before and they're afraid they're, you know, cancer is back or something, whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that's troubling them, whether, you know, somebody's got an appointment coming up, we bounce back off, you know, one another about what did your doctor say about follow-up appointments? What do they recommend? This way we could see what everyone is saying and we could kind of see what's going on in the community and see what their recommendations are.
And you really feel that support from each other of being in very similar situations and saying, yes, I've experienced that too, or here's my advice on what I did when I was going through this part of the process.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. And I always advise people to see genetic counselors. I really do because, of course, you know, genetic counselor is going to assess not only your risk, but look at the family history. So that's also really part of really important part of recommending surgeries and everything. So it's sort of like a puzzle, you know, that you kind of put together little by little.
And genetic counselors have 2 years of graduate level training for these specific fields of cancer, pediatric, prenatal, cardiac. So there's lots of different areas that they're trained in, but they're trained to be counselors, but also to have the specialty of knowing the genetics and the testing behind it. And for those that are looking to find a genetic counselor, you can go to findageneticcounselor.com and search in your area, or even set up a phone call with genetic counselors. Throwing that out there for those that may be in a situation where they can benefit.
Absolutely. I think everybody and anybody could benefit from a genetic counselor, you know, whether it's BRCA or other hereditary, you know, issues or, you know, syndromes out there. I think it's just phenomenal what genetic counselors are doing and, you know, how they've changed so many lives. And I think whatever it is, whether it's good or bad, I think it's really important to know at least what's in your genes. What's lurking in there.
And for those that are new to hereditary breast and ovarian cancer community, can you give us a little lesson on different terms that you guys use so that people are more familiar?
We use survivor. Some of the girls use previvor. I like to use mutant-vivor. I like to use that. That's my term. I made that up. Lynchy. Obviously, that's for Lynch syndrome. Mutants and sisters.
So lots of different terms to really kind of identify yourselves in the group, mm-hmm. and also to the public, and saying, like, this is what's going on, and I know the mutations that I carry that elevate my risk for cancer, and this is because I went through genetic testing, and I've really see knowledge as being power.
Absolutely. Now, that's what I've always believed. I've always believed that knowledge is absolute power. No matter what it is, at least you know what you're dealing with. At least you know what could be done, how things could possibly be prevented. There's also future generations to think about, those of us who have children or who may want to have children or perhaps may not want to have children because they feel they don't want to possibly pass it on, which is a personal, of course, choice. And either way, I have no issues either way with anyone, what they choose.
It's very personal decision, and
I agree.
One that's a really, really big decision, too, with a lot of different layers to it.
I would just like to stress one thing that people say, you know, and I know some people, they say they're not ready to get tested, but I always say, if you're not ready to get tested and you're not ready to find out, you're definitely not ready to get cancer. So I suggest at least if, you know, you're not ready for surgeries, if you do find out, at least people could get screened. There's options out there. At least that's something to think about.
And the benefit of going to genetic counseling is that you don't need to get genetic testing. Genetic testing is not genetic counseling. It's just that genetic counselors can guide you through that process, and they can also educate you prior to going through the process so that you can decide if it's right for you, although it's definitely also my opinion that it is a really, really beneficial thing, that it can be scary, but knowing that information can really help you make preventative healthcare decisions to prevent cancer, or at least drastically lower rates.
I have absolutely, by the way, no regrets about having any of my surgeries, honestly. Absolutely none. And I have no regrets about finding out because, again, it's not just me. I have two children to think about.
From your surgeries and going through chemo and everything, it's not necessarily you're done and no more appointments. You still have monitoring and everything. How does that work?
It's definitely doesn't work like that. Well, first of all, I see my hematologist oncologist every 4 months where he draws blood for uterine cancer markers, blood cancer markers. Oh, also, I've had CA125 tests, even though I've had my prophylactic oophorectomy, a bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy. I still have to be monitored. I still have my uterus and my cervix, so I get a pap smear once a year, and I have vaginal ultrasound, along with seeing my breast surgeon once a year, and I see my plastic surgeon still, because I've had two revisions. I also have to go and see a dermatologist. I just saw my eye doctor, and knock on wood, my eyes are healthy, which is great. I've had a colonoscopy a year ago. That was my first colonoscopy a year ago. So I have to stay on top of all my appointments, on top of everything. So that's really vital. Sometimes feels like a never-ending thing. But you know what? I go. I do my follow-ups. I'm seeing a dermatologist shortly this month. And you just have to do what you have to do. That's it, in order to stay on top of things.
It's definitely a very positive spin on things, and to be educating people is just a fantastic way to pass on your knowledge and everything and really be helping others that are in similar situations or kind of starting out in a process of possibly getting a positive result for a mutation or getting a diagnosis of breast cancer. That I have to say, it's very, very inspirational to hear your work, and I want to thank you that you're out there and really changing people's lives through this. And for those that are interested, you can go to @MutantStrong on Facebook and on Instagram, Mutant_Strong, and also MutantStrong.com. And that's where a lot of your information is. So thank
Absolutely.
You so much for just sharing all of this today.
And thank you so much for this. And thank you so much for advocating for us. And thank you so much, you know, for what you do as well.
Oh, definitely. It's really a pleasure to be able to talk to other patient advocates and everything, and just to hear your stories, really. It interests me, and I'm really glad that other people are able to listen and get that information as well.
And it would be wonderful when you become a genetic counselor so we can refer patients to you.
Hopefully, yes. If I get into grad school, then hopefully that is down the road for me.
I have a feeling you'll do great.
So people can go to findageneticcounselor.com to find certified genetic counselors that are practicing and already graduated graduate school. And if you're interested in learning more about the show or listening to any of the other episodes, you can go to dnapodcast.com. On Twitter, @DNApodcasts. Instagram is a little different, @DNAradio. And any questions for Irina or myself can be sent to info@DNApodcasts.com. I will forward those on to her. if you just address them to her. So thanks for listening, and join me next week to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.